But I'm so glad that Priscilla introduced us to better. In fact, man, we had sickness. Anybody had sickness going around in their house, you know? We had it go around in our house. And just last Sunday, Jenny was feeling better for the first time all week. And I said, how you feeling, babe? And she's like, I'm feeling good. Could you go to In-N-Out? And I was like, okay, I know she's feeling better right now, you know? I mean, that's just what it is. You know, so many times in life, what we do is we settle for the good when we don't know what the better is. We settle for just a double-double, regular double-double that we see it in and out because we don't know it's there. We settle for the good when we don't know that better is out there. And that's what we're talking about in this series right now, is that we want to have better. Anybody want to have a better year this year than you did last year? Why are you not raising your hand? Everybody should want to have a better year than they did last year. That's what we want out of life. We want to have better. We want to strive for better. But here's the problem. This is the thing that we want to be able to talk about during this series, is that so often in life, what we assume is better is it's just the good life. We want the good life, right? We want to be able to have nice clothes. We want to be able to have the nice car and a good job. And we want to be able to have a nice house and all of those things. That's the good life, right? But what we've done so often is we've settled for the good life when God has something so much better for you. He has a better life intended for you. You hear me say this verse all the time, and I want you to be able to grasp hold of it. It is John 10:10. It says this, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. Jesus has come to give you life and give it to you in abundance. It's a better life. Man, we have better right in for us. God wants to give you better. Jesus has come to give you better. Doesn't anybody get excited about better? Man, I tell you what, I'm so pumped about this. This is the life that God has for you. And so what we want to do is we want to cover that. We want to be able to get to the place where we have better. Everybody say better with me. Better. Doesn't that just make you smile? Doesn't that make you want to be able to have a better life? And here's what I want you to do. I want to be able to talk about this for a second. I want you to be challenged through this, and I want for just a moment you can ask yourself this question. Why? Why is life with God better? Ask yourself that question. Why is life with God so much better? And for just a moment, I want to take a second, and I just want to be able to talk about why life with God is so much better than anything that we've ever had before. The first thing is that life with God is better because, I mean, you have Jesus in your life. And man, I tell you what, all of us have messed up in some way or another. Man, we've all done it. And what Jesus, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he gives us forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad it is. And you might think, dude, I've had some bad stuff in my life. It doesn't matter to Jesus. Man, he forgives you. As far as the east is from the west, he forgives you. That's so much better. That's so much better than anything that we experience right here on earth. Man, life with God is better because we have indescribable joy. We have joy that wells up inside of us. And it's not just situational happiness. It's not just a moment of joy. It's a joy that comes up from out from underneath you that you can't even describe. It's just joy. Oh, man. I just love how they say this in, where am I at? I got to find the verse. Psalm 63:3. Because your love is better than life, and my lips will glorify you. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Man, you have joy inside of your life. Life with God is just simply better. Man, life with God is so much better because we have a supernatural peace that surrounds us. It's a peace that doesn't matter if everything's just tranquil in your life and that there's no problems going on. Even when a storm is happening around you, that you have this peace that comes through. John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. Man, I just love the fact that God gives us peace. Life with God is so much better because what he does is he gives us a divine purpose. He gives us a divine purpose for our life. Man, you having your own plan is awesome. Having a plan for your life is so great. But having God's plan and God's purpose in your life is just better. It's just better. Psalms 139:16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Man, he's ordained all of those steps. It's just so much better. Life is just better with God. It's so much better with God because we get to live life with the Holy Spirit inside of us. We get to live life with the Holy Spirit empowering us every single day. That's a better life that he gives us. Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because the Spirit also lives in you. Man, that is a life that is just better. Don't settle for the good, man. We get to be able to go for the better life. Man, he provides for us every day. God provides for us every single day. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Man, having some of your needs met is pretty good, but having all of your needs met is better. It's just simply better. And so what we want to do through this series is we want to talk about better life and what it means to be able to live a better life. And this morning, what we're going to key in on is this, is that what we're going to do is we're going to go through some passages in the Bible that talk about better life. And what I want to do for us is during this series is I really want us to be able to grasp hold of what the better life means. And so what I want us to do, I want to challenge you in this, is that we're going to have some passages that talk about better, and I want us to be able to really take hold of those things. And not just hear it on a Sunday morning, but I want us to be able to take these passages and memorize them. Because I want your life to be transformed. God wants your life to be transformed. He has called you to an amazing, better life, a life of abundance, and he wants your life to be transformed. And man, Romans tells us that it happens to us, that transformation happens through the renewal of our mind. Man, how does life change really happen? How does transformation happen? Does it happen through just like an amazing emotional experience? Man, not most of the time, no, it doesn't. Does it happen in a flash moment? Man, sometimes, like I don't want to dismiss a miracle that God can give, but what really transforms the mind and what really renews us is a constant study of God's word. God's living holy word will transform and renew your mind. How do you do that? You get into his word. You memorize his word. Psalms 119:11 says that I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Man, we've hidden his word in our heart. And so what I want us to do during this series is I want us to be able to take these passages and I want us to be able to take them home and I want us to be able to recite them. I want us to be able to memorize them because I know that God wants a better life for you. I know that he wants a transformation to happen in your life, and it happens when we renew our mind and dedicate our minds to his word. You guys with me on that? And so, man, the first one that we're going to be able to talk about this morning is found in Psalms. It's found in Psalms 84, and it's going to be 84:10. But before we get there, I want to just give you a little bit of background, so a little bit of context of what Psalms 84:10 is. And so in Psalms 84:1-2, it says this, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Man, I love the passion for this. And that's the reason why we sang that very last song that we did today, is because that's what it is. Man, it's this passion of my heart and my soul, my entire being longs for God. And now it says this, it says my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Now, what does that mean for the courts of the Lord? Well, in the Old Testament, they had the temple. They built this temple, and God's presence, it dwelled inside the Holy of Holies. And there was the Ark of the Covenant. Man, if you've seen Indiana Jones, man, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so the Ark of the Covenant was there, and that's where God's presence was. And in the temple, there were outer courts. There was an inner court and an outer courts. And so what he's saying here is the psalmist is saying that, man, he longs to even be in the courts of the Lord, which really is a representation of saying that I long to be in God's presence. My soul and my heart, my flesh is crying out to be in the courts of the Lord, to be in God's presence. presence. And so when we see that in Scripture, when we're talking about the courts of the Lord, what it really is referring to, it's being in the presence of God. Now, the great thing is that the Old Testament and the New Testament is that when Jesus came to earth and he hung upon a cross and he died for us, at that moment, there was this veil that separated God from everybody else, and that veil was ripped in two. And the sacrifice that Jesus gave allowed us to be able to live in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to live in the presence of God every single day of our life. And so, man, we got to be able to talk about that. Better is one day in the courts, in the presence of God, and we don't have to go anywhere. We just get to be able to live in his presence. Amen? That's good stuff right there. And so now, go ahead and get to Psalms 84:10, and it says this. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Man, the doorkeeper, man, that was a lowly station. There wasn't anything special about a doorkeeper. You weren't getting your name on a plaque or anything like that. But he's saying this. He's saying that better is one day. I would rather be in the lowest position possible in the house of the Lord than to dwell anyplace else. Just give me that, man. Let me clean some toilets if it means that I get to be in God's presence. That's what he's saying right there. And so this is us. This is the verse that we want to be able to really gravitate towards today. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So here's what I want us to be able to do. I want us to be able to say this together because this is our memory verse for the week, okay? So everybody say it with me. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Man, that was pretty good. So let's do it again, though, because remember, we want this to be able to really get inside of our hearts, okay? So here we go. That's pretty good. Now, here's what I want us to be able to do. I want us to be able to say it with our eyes closed. You guys ready? You're feeling nervous now, aren't you? I'm going to help you along with this, okay? So here we go. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Some of you were cheating. That's what you were doing. That's okay. Man, this is the verse that we want to be able to really gravitate towards right now. To understand that better is one day with God. Better is one day with God than 1,000 elsewhere, than anywhere else, man, that we understand that God's presence in our life is just so much better. It's better. And so often we are settling for just the good life when God has so much better. And this is the key thought. This is the key thought that's going to really transform us for this entire series is this, is that we have to be able to say no to the good to say yes to the better. You have to say no to the good to say yes to the better. So often we have just settled for the good life. And what we feel like the world is trying to tell us what we need to have. And we've settled for the good. But God has so much more for you. He has a better life. And we need to be able to learn to be able to say no to the good, to say yes to the better. Now, here's the question. So we look at this verse, and better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. How do we really do that? Is it just sitting in here and saying, hey, I'm going to be in church today, and that's my day with God? Or so often we do this in our life is that we really take time with God, and we say that. We need to take our time with God. I need to have my devotional time. Devotional time means that we devote that time to God and we look at the Bible or we read Scripture or we pray. And so that's my devotional time. And so we take that time and then as soon as we close the Bible, as soon as we close the book, then we also close that part of our relationship and then we go about the rest of our day. And what we've done in this world is what we've compartmentalized our time with God. We've compartmentalized what it really means. And the reality is this, is that we think that our spiritual time is completely different than everything else. But that's not true. In fact, the Hebrew, there's no Hebrew word for spirituality. Because it really was this, is that the spirituality is everything. It's all encompassing. That God is spirit and that we live with God and we are spirit. And so spirituality is everything. It's all encompassing. And what we've done is we've compartmentalized our time with God. But what we need to be able to do is this, to be able to spend one day with God. This is our key thought for the day is this, is that we need to be able to have an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. What does it mean, better is one day? It means that we live a way that it is an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. I'm telling you, that is huge. That's huge for us to be able to live a life and to be able to walk in a sense that we are in God's presence and an awareness that we are there. Because we know this, is that if we as Christians, if you've chosen to be able to follow Christ, that the Holy Spirit lives and resides inside of you. There's no leaving. That you just want to be able to say yes, yes, yes to the better. And an understanding of the awareness of God's presence. And I tell you, that is a better life. That is the way that God wants us to be able to go through life. Now, it's hard for us to be able to just say, oh, okay, yeah, I want to be able to do that. Now, but really, the question that we're going to tackle today is this. How? How do we have an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence? Because it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to be able to do that. And I want to tell you that it takes time and effort, and it takes some habits for us to be able to really fall into this. There are habits that we need to develop for us to be able to have this kind of awareness in our life. And I want to tell you, man, that this is a prayer that I have. It's a prayer that I have for life to be able to really fall into this thing. And you know, we get to a certain place and we're like, man, it's so much better than it was like 5 years ago, but we're not yet there. You know, we need to be able to continue on and to be more aware of God's presence every single day. And so this is what we want to do this morning is we're going to talk about three specific habits that allow us to have an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. You guys ready? You guys ready for this? Yeah? So here it is. Number one, the very first one is this, is that we need to develop a habit. We need to develop the habit of constant communication with God. Develop the habit to have a constant communication with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 says this. It says, rejoice always. That is not easy to do when you're in traffic, to rejoice always. Rejoice always. And then 17 says this, pray continually. So some versions that you might have say, pray without ceasing. Seriously, has anybody ever thought that? How in the world am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to be able to pray without ceasing, to never stop praying? Because I don't know about you, but here's how it goes when I start praying. Dear God, you are so awesome and great, and I love you, and thank you so much for blessing my life. And God, I want you to be able to help this situation going on. And man, you know, did Jenny take the trash out this morning? I'm not sure if she took it out, and I hear the trash coming, so maybe I need to get up, and I need to be able to get that thing. And man, you know, Jenny's so awesome that she takes the trash out most of the time. You know, I wonder what she's doing right now. Oh, I better call her. Let's see. Hey, babe, how's it going? That's kind of how it goes sometimes, isn't it? It's like ADD of prayer time, and how am I supposed to really pray without ceasing when I can't even pray for 5 minutes? That verse doesn't really work, right? So how does that really play out for us? How does pray continually really work out for us? Well, let's be able to really kind of change things a little bit. Does anybody have one of these little things? Anybody got a phone that is smarter than them, right? Right? And you take this thing wherever you go. You even take this thing in the bathroom and you're crushing some candies in there, don't you? That's what happens. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Then you got a phone and man, you're in constant communication with people, aren't you? Like you're texting people all the time. I tell you, I'm texting people all the time, talking on the phone, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all of that kind of stuff. In fact, man, even this morning, I got somebody just, you know, mentioned to me in a Twitter thing. I got a text message from my brother-in-law. That's already, you know, just this morning. That was nice of him. He's praying for us. That's great. I got a text from Jenny, and that's inappropriate. I was just playing about that one. I didn't. I need to get that one. I'm going to send her an inappropriate one later. All right? That's how it goes. Going to have some fun around here. But man, we're in constant communication with each other, you know, and it's these short little snippets of information that we give, and we live in a world that we do that there's just these little tiny things, and we're knowing what's going on in each other's life. And what we want to be able to do is man, if you want to pray continually, begin to think about praying to God in little 140-word characters, or 140 characters or less, or whatever it is. Man, that you can just pray to God. Like, you see a situation going on at work, your boss is in a mood, and you're like, oh, man, God, please give me patience today. And you're sincere about it. It's not saying, oh, dear God, here we go again. No, man, that you're praying to God, God, please give me some patience right now. You know, you're driving on your way to work, and you see an amazing sunrise, and you just get to be able to say, God, you are so great and awesome. And it's that simple little prayer right there. Man, you're sitting someplace and you see somebody and you just see pain and hurt in their eyes. And you just say, God, I don't know what's going on with them, but man, please help them. And you're in this constant communication and these small little snippets here and there, but that you're always, 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 always communicating with God. And you're just taking those times throughout the day to just be talking with God. And it doesn't mean that you've got to be able to go into your prayer closet and get down on your knees and light a candle and that you've got to be able to pray without ceasing in there. Now, those are powerful moments, absolutely, you know, but let's get to reality is that it's hard to be able to do that all the time. But man, we want to be able to live in God's presence, and we want to be constantly communicating, and that's why Paul says it, pray continually. Man, just be praying and talking to God. Just take the time to do it. When the moment is there, pray. Man, you're getting ready to go into a presentation. God, you know how big this is. Please help me in this. You're getting ready to coming home, you know, and the kids are there, and you're praying in the garage. God, please help me with the kids today. Give me some patience. It was a long day, and I know they're going to be rambunctious. Please help me in this. It's just constant communication. Constant communication. Man, to be able to take that time and those moments, 140 characters or less, now that is something that you can do. That is the moment that you can really say, I can do that. You know, that big esoteric thought, you know, that I got to be holier than thou, that's hard. That's hard to do. But man, these little snippets that we have, and that you're in constant communication with God throughout the entirety of your day, that's going to help you live an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. The second habit that we want to be able to talk about today, the second habit is this. We want to have instant obedience to God. Instant obedience to God. But I'll tell you, my New Year's resolution this year was really taken from words that I say to my boys and my wife says to my boys all the time is this. Listen and obey. You know? Don't just hear the words that I'm telling you. Do them. Anybody with me on that? You got kids out there? You're like, please listen and obey. Your life will be better if you do. Isn't that right? You understand that as parents, that your life, their child's life will be better if they just listen and obey. God wants the exact same thing for your life. To instantly obey God. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we live with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us, let's keep in step and do the things that He wants us to be able to do. Now, here's the great thing. This is so awesome, man. I'll tell you this. If we develop the very first habit and we are in constant communication to God and we're speaking to God, let me tell you a truth right here. God will speak to you. That will blow you away. I tell you what, man, when you begin to speak to God on a continual basis, He will begin to speak to you. John 10:27 says this, that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That the more that we talk to God, the more in tune we are to His presence, the more that we can hear Him in our life. The more that we're in His Word, we're reading the Bible, that He speaks to us through His Bible. Through His Word right there, that it challenges us and it brings us there. Man, that we'll feel a prompting inside of our spirit. We're just like, I don't know why I'm supposed to do this or that, but there's a prompting inside of you that you understand that it's the Holy Spirit who's giving you that prompting and guiding you in that direction. That the more you speak to God, the more he's going to speak to you. And you have that instantaneous obedience. Man, let me give you an example of this. So back in the summer, we were really kind of contemplating like how it would look to start this church and to plant this church. And man, you know, we were just kind of going through all sorts of craziness. And I'm driving around one day trying to clear my head, saying, okay, God, what do you really want us to do? How is this going to look? How are we going to be able to do this thing? And as I'm driving down Ellsworth, I really felt God impress upon me these two words. And these two words were this: don't wait. Don't wait. That it needed to be instantaneous, and we needed to be able to follow what God wanted us to do. And I just felt like, okay, God, man, we're going to give it all to you. You're telling us to not wait, to not be patient about it. I'm going to follow you, and that's what we're going to be able to do. The very next day, Jenny and I, we got together. I told her what I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I said, man, it's just, we don't wait. We need to be able to go forward with this thing. And so we, the very next day on a Wednesday, we drove out to the Eastmark area because I was driving down Ellsworth when I really felt God be able to impress that. And we drove out here, and we were like, so where would we even meet? I don't know where we would meet. And so we went to the community center and another building and all that kind of stuff. And they were like, no, you know, it just didn't work, the time frame, all that kind of stuff. And so then we're driving up Eastmark Parkway right here, and we see a sign, you know, for Sequoia Pathfinder. And there's this big enrollment sign on there. And we couldn't even stop in because they didn't have driveways open yet. This place was brand new. And so we see the sign, and so Jenny calls him up and says, hey, this is who we are, left a message, called us back immediately and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about planting a church, and this is where, you know, we thought maybe we could meet there. And they said, hey, that sounds like something that we'd be very interested in. And then 2 weeks later, we signed a lease to be able to come here. And that was amazing. That was awesome. And I tell you, most church plants, they happen between 6 months and a year. It takes that long to be able to get everything together and all of that process. And we launched this church in 10 weeks. 10 weeks! That's awesome! Because we felt the Holy Spirit say, don't wait. And it was instantaneous obedience. And even through that, you know, we're sitting there still launching this church and planting this church and man, I'll tell you what, it's hard, let me tell you, it's hard to name a church nowadays. You know, you don't just have First Presbyterian, you know, all over anymore. I mean, there's still that there, but it's hard to name a church. And so my thought was this: I do not want to have anything that sounds cool or trendy. Like, that's not what the desire was in my heart at all. I wanted something that was like, you know, it really kind of just, it was just more traditional, really family-oriented. I didn't want to have anything that was cool and trendy. So let me tell you how that process went. We couldn't figure out what the name was. We had these brainstorming sessions and you know, trying to figure out where we were going to go, and nothing just seemed to fit. And so finally, a friend of mine said, you know, you guys just need to be able to get away. And so that's what Jenny and I did. We drove up to Prescott, and we went to a place that had it had a chapel there. And so this is what I had in my mind. I had pictured in my mind, I thought, okay, we're going to go up there. We're going to have a nice night on a Wednesday night. We're going to have a nice night with the boys and enjoy some time away and enjoy the nice cool weather. And so when we get up there, man, it is pouring down rain. I mean, it is storming so bad, you know. And so I'm like, okay, we'll just get through this. And then the next morning, I'll go into the chapel and I'll be praying. And then all of a sudden, an angel will come down and, here's the name of your church, and it's going to be great. And, you know, and then we're going to be able to go forward like that. And that's not how it happened. So it's storming down rain, and this cabin that we're staying in, it is old and rickety, and the roof leaks. And I mean, it is pouring down rain. And I don't notice because I'm kind of a heavy sleeper, except Jenny noticed because it's dripping right down on her foot. So it's dripping down on her foot because it's storming so bad. And again, I'm fine with it because I'm asleep. And what wakes me up is Jenny getting a trash can to be able to get that drip. And that doesn't wake me up, but what wakes me up is the drip, 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 ding, 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 in this trash can, you know, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, I go and get a washcloth and I put it in the bottom of this thing, and I'm mad at Jenny, like, why didn't you think about doing that, you know, because I'm asleep and angry and how that goes. And so Jenny falls asleep and I'm sitting there, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm wide awake. Oh, great, now what am I going to do? You know, it's like, why did I come up here in this storm and rain? God, what is the purpose of this? Like, this is not working out the way that I thought it was going to be, you know, because it's really in the middle of the night, and I get angry in the middle of the night. Anybody with me in that? You know, I want my sleep, you know, and so I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, okay, God, what is this? You know, I'm here, might as well just pray, I guess, and so I'm sitting there praying, and I'm just asking God, how do you want this thing to go? How does this work? And really felt God bring us back to a verse that was so important for us through this whole process was Philippians 3:14, which says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize of God, which is heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I just came back to that, and I really felt God impress and just say this. He said, man, I want you to focus on this verse. Focus on this verse. Focus on me. And I want you to teach people to focus on me. And that just was going over and over and over and over. And that next morning, I woke up and I said, babe, God wants us to be able to focus on him. And Philippians 3:14 is the verse that we're going to be able to really focus on and be able to teach people how important it is to keep your eyes set upon Christ and not on what the world has to offer, and to be able to have a tunnel vision for him, because the life that he has for you is better. It's simply better. Instant obedience with God. When you speak to him on a continual basis, he will speak to you and impress upon your heart what he wants you to be able to do. We want to have constant communication to God. We want to have instant obedience to God. And the very last one is this. The very last habit that we need to develop is a habit of daily desperation for God. Let's go back to this verse again. Psalms 84:2 says, my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Man, I want to know, how many, like, Christians in this room, I don't know everybody's a Christian in this room, but man, Christians in this room, when was the last time that you really felt like this? When was the last time that you felt a desperation for God? That your heart and your soul were crying out to be in his presence? We don't talk like this. In fact, most of us, when we sit there and think about a desperation and a daily desperation, we think, that's a little weird. You know, in fact, why don't you just calm down a little bit, Pastor? You know, I'm here on a Sunday morning. This is good. My life is good. Why don't you just chill out a little bit? Like, we know you get excited and passionate about stuff, but hey, I'm living in the real life. I'm living in the real world, and we don't feel this verse. We don't feel our soul crying out and our soul in anguish because we just want more of God in our life. And I'm going to tell it like it is right now. For those of you that are Christians in here, I'm not beating around the bush at this moment. The reason why you don't feel like that is because I want to know what you're feeding your appetite. Because the reality is this, is that what we feed our souls, what we feed ourselves, is what we want more of. It's what we have a desire for. The appetite that we have is because that's what we're feeding. And so if we're feeding ourselves the good life, that's what we want more of. We want more and more of the good life. You know what? I drove a nice car, but that one is so much nicer, and I want that one. You know, I live in a nice house, but man, my neighbor, he lives in a really nice house. Oh, that's a new community out over there. You know what? I got these jeans, but now I saw those jeans, and I want even nicer jeans, because it's what we're feeding our appetite. And what we are feeding ourselves is what we are hungry for more of. So when was the last time that you truly fed your appetite with God? That's a challenge. Now, I don't want you to feel offended by that. Because like I said, man, there's nothing wrong with the good life. But what are you feeding yourself? Don't be offended by it. Be challenged by it. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you for a moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to really speak to your heart and challenge you. And reflect upon your life. Reflect upon your appetites. And what are you really feeding yourself? Do you have a desperation for God? Do you have a daily desperation? Not just here at this moment, not just here when you're hearing somebody talk about it. Do you have a daily desperation for him? That you wake up in the morning and you're saying, you know what, God, better is one day in your courts. I don't care where I am. I don't care how low of a position it is. Better is one day with you than anywhere else. Because you're feeding. You're feeding yourself more and more of God. like I said in the beginning, you know, we don't want to just compartmentalize our time with God. But it's so important for us to be able to feed our souls with the Word. And we need to be able to dive into God's Word and to have those moments so we're feeding our souls. We need to have those moments of worship. Just on, man, when you're in your car by yourself, man, just crank on that worship music and just be like, God, I just give it all to you right now. Because my soul cries out for you. Not because a pastor told me to, and not because this is what a good Christian does, but because, God, I want more of you in my life. I want to have a daily desperation. My life might be good, but I want better. I want better. I want God. I want more of God. I want what you have for my life. I want to be able to follow you. I want to have that joy that I see in other people. I want to have that peace. It doesn't matter what the storm is going on, because I'll tell you this, I'd rather be in the storm in the boat with Jesus than standing on the shore without him. That I want to be able to have that in my life. I want to be desperate for him. I want better. I want the life of abundance that he has for me. God, please give it to me. When was the last time you had a daily desperation for God? Psalms 34:8, it says, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. He has a better life for you. He has so much that he wants for you. Taste and see. Feed your appetite. Feed your appetite of what you're doing inside of your life. And you're worried about what's going on up here, but that's a desperation. And don't worry about what's going on in somebody else's life. Worry about what's going on in your heart. When was the last time that you had a desperation for God? And you think it's weird and you think it's unusual what's going on. No, it's just a hunger for more of God in your life. When was the last time you had a desperation for God? Taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to be able to live an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. An ongoing and an unending awareness of God's presence. Not just at this moment, but when we leave here and we go to lunch, when we're sitting down with our family, when we wake up in the morning, that we get to be able to say, God, I'm with you. As we're on our way to work throughout the rest of the week, when we have big projects coming up and we feel the pressure and the weight of the world, that we have an ongoing and unending awareness of God's presence. Because better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. That is a better life. Church, could you just pray with me? I just want you to be able to just close your eyes and begin to think of that. God, I want to have an ongoing, unending awareness of you in my life. I want to be able to live with you, because better is one day. I know that better is one day with you than anything else. I want you to have more of my life. I don't want a good life. I don't want the good life. I want the better life. I want the life that you have for me. God, I pray that you will have a renewal of our minds. I pray that we can dedicate ourselves to memorizing this verse and that we can have a renewal of our minds, a transformation inside of our heart, inside of our life, so that we can have better, so that we can choose better, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that we will have one day in your presence, that we will be able to walk through this every single day that we go forward, that we will have an ongoing and an unending awareness of your presence, Lord Jesus. I pray that better is one day in your presence, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for better. I pray for a better life of everybody in here. God, that we aren't just the church that settles for the good life and settles for a time where we get to pat ourselves in the back. But God, that we want to have a better life, because you want a better life for us. And God, I pray that will be the case for every single person in this room. That God, we will just have better. I pray that you will give the people in this place a better life, Lord Jesus. Jesus wants so much for you. He wants so much for you. He wants a better life for you. And maybe you're in this room and you've settled for just the good life. You've settled for just whatever the world has to offer. And you understand what that means, that you're feeding your appetite, because it's non-ending. It's insatiable. And you're saying, you know what, I don't want the good life. I want to be able to choose Jesus. And maybe you've never done that in here before. Maybe you've never done that in here before. You've never chosen Jesus. You've never said, I want a better life and I want him to be my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have in the past, but you've walked away from it. You've really walked away from living a life of devotion to him and walking in step with the Spirit. And you've walked away from that. But at this moment, you want to say, I want to choose Jesus and I want to choose better. And it's a choice that you make. And Romans tells us, it says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he is Lord, that he will raise us. He will raise us. He will save us. And what it's saying is, if we believe in our heart and we make an acknowledgement, that we confess with our mouth, if we make an acknowledgement that he is Lord, he's going to save us. So this morning, I want to give you a time and an opportunity to make that choice. To make the choice that you've never chosen Jesus before. You did and you walked away and you're not living a life with Jesus right now, but you're saying at this moment I need to make a choice and I want to believe in my heart and I want to acknowledge him. We want to give you an opportunity to do that by acknowledging him by just raising up your hand right now. Just be able to raise your hand right now if that's you, that you're just saying, you know what, I've walked away from him. I want to be able to choose him. And you raise it up, you can put it back down. Thank you. I see that over there. You can put it back down. You're saying, yes, I want to be able to choose Jesus. I've walked away from living a life devoted to God. I want to choose better today. I don't want to settle for good. I want to be able to choose better. Just another moment. I see you. You can put it back down. Yes, I want to choose better. Just another moment. Man, God is so good. And he loves us. And he has come to give us a better life. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for our church, and I want to pray for you that raise your hand right now. God, I pray that you will just come into their life, into their heart, that they've acknowledged you, Lord Jesus. They're saying, I believe in my heart right now, and they've acknowledged you, Lord God, as Lord and Savior, that they give their life to you because they don't want to just settle for the good. They want to be able to choose better. God, I pray that you will be able to show them your love and grace and mercy. I pray that you will be able to show them your joy and peace and patience, Lord God. I pray that they will understand your forgiveness today, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. I pray, thank you so much for what you're doing in our church, Lord God. As we want to be able to just impact this community, Lord God, and be able to show them a better life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives. We give this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't Jesus better? Isn't Jesus better, church? Man, he's so much better. Woo, I get pumped up, man. I tell you what, I love me some Jesus. I could talk about Jesus all the time. I just love it. Man, I really hope this is going to be a challenging series. It really is, man. It is better, and life is better with him, but I'm not going to pull any punches back because I want you to be able to have that life that Jesus wants for you, that better life. And so this is going to be a challenging series that I really want to encourage you to really take hold of. And so you guys remember our verse? You guys remember our verse? Some of you do not. You do not remember it at all. Hey, why don't you go put it up there one more time. Everybody repeat it with me. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Absolutely. We want to be able to take that throughout the entire week. And I'll tell you that Wendy remembered the first part, but she didn't remember the second part. I'm calling her out. She's standing up there. She's like, are you kidding me? I'm going to hear about that one later, I'll tell you. But man, just be able to take that. Psalm 84:10, if you got your talk notes, be able to take that with you, and you're going to be able to really memorize that. I want to challenge you so that we can have a renewal of our mind. Man, God is good and God is great. Hey, now's the time of the service that I'm going to be transitioning out. I'm going to be going outside, and we've got a guest central area right out in the courtyard. And man, if you're new or newer to the church, I would love a chance to be able to meet you and talk to you, a chance to introduce myself, tell you more about our church, and hear more about you as well. And man, if God was doing something in your life today, I would love a chance to be able to hear about that as well. And so, man, just feel free to be able to come up and talk to me. I'll just be right out there in the courtyard. And so as I'm transitioning out, we've got some cool things that are happening in our church right now, some amazing announcements, and so we've got Wendy and Jenny coming up here to be able to share that stuff with you. Thanks, guys.